Start up like this, or like this, and hit the start button to flip back and forth. You can make the important things big, keep the small stuff small, and arrange it all around you. You can be all work, all play, or even both at the same time. You can do it all simpler and easier on your Windows tablet, PC, or Surface. That's the new Windows. One experience for everything in your life.
So you have an app and you have a game, and everyone nowadays is saying, you need to be on social media. You need to be doing this. And, you know, there's a lot of truth to that. You do have to put yourself out there because it's a really good way to get yourself and your app and your game discovered and kind of build up your user base and, you know, at a very low effort, low kind of cost. And so when it comes to social media, there's a bunch of things you kind of need to consider. And once again, maybe you're coming at this with, you already have a presence on social media. You already have some followers. Maybe you're just going to use, you know, your username and talk about, you know, the new app or the new game that you're working on. And maybe you're not going to do that. Maybe you're going to take it a step farther and you're actually going to use the brand of the app or the brand of the game. And so we're going to kind of take a look at, you know, the differences between those two. And we're going to look at a couple things in terms of, you know, where do you need to be and how, what do you need to be saying and how do you need to say it? And so one of the first things about social media is that, you know, they're not all equal. Not all networks are equal. And so you really need to figure out who your audience is and where they are going to be. Because you can talk all you want, you can put stuff out there all you want, but if you're not in the right place, no one's going to pick up on it. And so a good example of that is if, let's say, you're doing a shared family calendar app. You know, and you're really targeting kind of those busy families with, you know, maybe parents that are working or whatnot, they need to share these calendars. You need to be where those people are online. And, you know, to say that those people are going to be in certain areas, you need to figure out where those areas are. And so, you know, a very busy mom might be someone who's on Pinterest, might be someone who's on Facebook, you know. For example, a father, maybe not so much on Pinterest, right? But, you know, might be looking at Instagram, you know, might be also on Facebook. So you need to look at those networks and kind of figure out, you know, might not be where you normally are, but you might need to kind of branch out and be there just so that you can access that audience. And so just understanding your audience is really fundamental for that. And you want to make sure that you pick those, you know, social networks appropriately, because not everyone's on Twitter, not everyone's on Facebook, even though everyone says they are. You know, Pinterest is kind of that, you know, well, female only thing. You know, so where do you need to be? And you got to figure that kind of stuff out. And if you're targeting kids and teens, that's a whole other story, because a lot of them nowadays aren't really using Facebook, even though people think that that's what's happening. They're not. They're using a lot more of the kind of like quieter, flying under the radar social networks, so things like Snapchat, for example, and places like that. And so how do you access them there, and can you, for example? So you got to be a little bit creative when it comes to trying to figure out where your audience is and how you're going to access them. The other thing you got to kind of understand from all this stuff is, you know, okay, so it's good that you know where you're at, and it's good that you know where your audience is going to be, but you also kind of need to think about what you're going to say and how often you're going to say it. One of the big mistakes is that often people just start putting a whole bunch of stuff out there just all the time, constantly tweeting, constantly, you know, in someone's newsfeed and Facebook and things like that. If you're going to take this seriously, you kind of want to take the content strategy approach and create a calendar of some sort. And just be conscious of how much stuff you're putting out there and also how much stuff you're getting back from people. And is that a one-way dialogue or are you creating a two-way dialogue? So you want to think about just scheduling a little bit in terms of, you know, consistently having updates, consistently putting stuff out there, and, you know, trying to, you know, have that presence so that people understand that you're there and you're there consistently, not just, you know, a tweet every like 3 weeks or that kind of thing. You need to be consistent about this kind of stuff. So that's where the effort part kind of comes into play. You need to make sure that what you're sharing, whether it be on Twitter, whether it be through a blog post, whether it be Facebook or, you know, YouTube video or Vine or Instagram or whatever, you need to make sure that it's just of quality. Like, you want to put out quality content. When we talk about SEO these days, we say that quality content really reigns. That's how people are going to find you. That's how people are going to find your site. That's how they're going to find, you know, your authorship, all that kind of thing. And so quality content, whether it be super entertaining, whether it be really informative, you know, think about it in those kind of ways and make sure that you're putting out quality messaging to your audience. The other thing is you want to kind of make sure that when you're putting stuff out that it's just not a one-way broadcast. You know, social networking is often used that way where people just put out a lot of stuff. There's a lot of noise, not a lot of signal. And so you want to make sure that when you're trying to engage your audience that you're putting stuff out there and if they respond, that you respond back to them. And so, you know, this is a great place where we'll probably end up looking at a bunch of big brands and how, you know, they're approaching it and what we can take from them. But, you know, if someone tweets at you and they ask about, you know, when's the release date or how did you do that? Or, you know, they're basically starting a conversation with you or they're starting a conversation with your brand. And you want to continue that conversation. And so that's also where the, you know, the effort bit comes in. So you'll see a lot of big brands are very, very good at this. And often on Twitter is where you see it the most. For example, your flight's delayed. Your seat got, you know, screwed up, I don't know, flight's oversold, you know, you pick up Twitter and you start tweeting at Delta or American or whatever airlines that you fly, Virgin, whatever, and boom, they're right on it. They're coming right back to you because you're broadcasting and they want to start a conversation about it and they want to see how they can fix it. And you need to kind of take that kind of same approach. And, you know, I gave you a negative example, but, you know, there are people who, you know, put stuff out there like, thanks for the customer service or that was really great, you know. A nice little like kind of dialogue back of just like, hey, thanks, you know, I appreciate the shout out or whatever kind of thing. Just keep that communication a little bit open and consider that when you're, you know, delving a little bit into the social networks. The other thing you want to be is you don't want to sound, and as soon as I say scheduling, people think a time and a date and a message. You don't want to come across as robotic. You want to be authentic. You want to be human. And often, maybe that's taking whatever you're making. If you're making a game about zombies, maybe it's taking a little bit of the personality that that kind of product or game may have and kind of infusing your social messaging with that a little bit. You know, maybe it's just, you know, being timely with your responses, you know, not using jargon that doesn't really make sense, you know, just be authentic. People really like that, the fact that it's not like a tweet bot or it's not, you know, automatic that's coming back to them, even though your tweets might be scheduled automatic or your Facebook posts might be scheduled. They like the sense that it's like, you know, there's that real time component and just being authentic really, really takes you far. You know, let's say you're thinking about social media and you're like, okay, I'm going to get on Twitter, I'm going to get on Facebook, I'm going to do some YouTube posts, I might even try using Vine, I'm already on Instagram. You want to make sure that across the board that your branding is consistent across the board. And so you want to look at all these things, and if you're allowed to customize those, so like YouTube channel, you can customize, for example. Facebook, you can, you know, put in your header, same with Twitter, stuff like that. Take the time to customize it and make it as consistent as you possibly can so that no matter how that person is engaging with you or where that conversation is taking place, that it's still got the same kind of format, still got the same foundation. They understand where they're, you know, who they're talking to just through your branding. So, you know, it's a little thing you can do, but it really kind of is if you take it across all the social networks and you know, obviously including your product and your game or your app or whatever, you know, keeping that consistent means that people, you know, trust it just a little bit more. You know, and the other thing is you kind of want to also take people that who show a little bit of interest and, you know, take that opportunity to make them like an MVP, make them feel a little bit more like they're invested in what you're doing just as much as you are. And so if someone says, hey, like, love that game idea, it'd be awesome if you did this, you know, feel free to go and like have a little bit of you know, a little brainstorming session online, you know, whether it's through Facebook posts or likes or whatever, feel free to be doing that kind of thing. You know, always make sure that you're kind of engaging those people and making them feel like they're part of the process. People love that. They love seeing your process. They love seeing where you started, and they love seeing all the happy accidents. And so, you know, feel free to show that kind of stuff. You know, And the other thing is cross-promotion across social networks. So if you have a blog post that kind of goes through the steps of how you did a level editor and what you're planning to do in a new feature, or, you know, or even like something that came up with like, this is how I came to be naming my app the What It Is, for example. You know, that might be in a blog post, might be a Facebook, might be a Google Plus or whatever, but, you know, you can cross-promote. So you can say, like, on Twitter, hey, I just posted this, blah, 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 and point to another social network, for example. There's nothing wrong with that. People do it all the time. And actually, most of the apps that you download nowadays in terms of social networks allow you to cross-promote. So take advantage of that. You know, and see what you can do in terms of, you know, really utilizing that. The one really good thing about kind of building up a little bit of this social, I guess, persona, if you want to call it that, is that, you know, it will increase your authorship and it'll increase your credibility a little bit, you know, if you're very strategic about it. And so what that means is that, you know, if you continue to put out good content and, you know, you're tweeting information and whatever it may be, you know, you're blogging, you might have Facebook posts, et cetera, et cetera. It also means that the search engines will find that stuff. And that means that you're putting out good content, lots of people are sharing it, lots of people are liking it. It means that, you know, you're going to start to rise up in the page ranks a little bit. And that really, really helps you when, you know, let's say you built a little site like we discussed about previously to market your gamer app. And so authorship becomes very important. You know, you want to come across as very credible, and social networks can really make or break you in that regard. So you got to be really careful. But, you know, use it right. It can totally make you in that sense. So we're going to take a look at, I guess we're going to take a look at some big brands, and we're going to see kind of like what they're doing in terms of, I pick things that, you know, people are typically doing right, because, I mean, I think we know when people are doing things wrong. And we're going to take a look at what they're doing right, especially on Twitter. We're going to look at Instagram, you know, just a couple of ideas. And I'm going to try to, you know, give you a sense of, like, why this is working, why people kind of enjoy it, and also talk about, like, you know, what we can pull from those and give you some ideas, hopefully, so that you can go out and maybe engage a social network that you didn't think about previously and try to experiment, because that's the great thing about social networks. I mean, you sign up, you're done. It's a quick experiment. It doesn't take a lot of time to create any kind of content. You know, we're talking about a picture. We're talking about a short link. We're, you know, those kind of things. And we're going to figure out the ways that you can maybe build up your user base a little bit. So let's start by taking a look at Twitter and what people are doing right on Twitter. So looking at Twitter, I'm going to, you know, I just randomly picked a couple brands and you know, they're not necessarily ones that I follow, but they're brands that are doing some things right on Twitter, and they're doing a good job with their brand. So let's look at Charmin, and Charmin's one of those, you know, toilet paper brands. You know, toilet paper is a really weird thing. It's soft, you know, I mean, you want it to be soft and plushy and feel good, you know, no one sits there and markets their toilet paper like sandpaper. Like, who's going to buy that? No one, right? Everyone wants something that feels like heaven on their butt. And so Charmin has just totally capitalized on that. And they've got a really cute, kind of playful brand. And, you know, they have all the ads with the bears and things like that. Really, really cute. On Twitter, they really capitalize on the whole, I guess, toilet stall, for lack of a better term, experience. And they do a really good job about, you know, just kind of putting out little fun messages on Twitter that kind of make you kind of giggle. And they're very in tune with their brand. There's nothing where you read it and you feel like, ooh, you know, did someone hijack their Twitter? That's when you start to wonder about some of these brands, when, you know, all of a sudden you see a tweet and you're just like, that does not sound right. And it's happened to them. And so, you know, Charmin's one of those things where, you know, they've done a really good job. So even the first tweet you see is just like, you know, that awkward moment. And you know, once again, they're using hashtags that are really easy to find that are like likely trending, for example. And so it means that if anyone sees that and they search for it, boom, already they come up. So they've done a really good job. They're really smart that way. And they go, you know, when we're about to fall asleep and bam, gotta pee. Like, and then their own kind of hashtag, you know, tweet from the seat. So when it comes to Twitter, they're doing a bunch of things right. First of all, their brand voice is impeccable. They're doing a really good job there. It's always, you know, cute enough, suggestive enough, doesn't make you uncomfortable. And that's how their toilet paper should be, right? Should make you feel very much at ease. And so they do that. They do a really good job of trying to figure out what hashtags are going on right now in terms of trending, right? So trending hashtags are ones that people are constantly using again and again. And, you know, often it's kind of like a theme or might be a news item or whatnot. They do a good job of that. That means they're going to show up there. And they also do a good job of just kind of coming up with a couple of their own little hashtags that, you know, really reflect their brand. And you need to consider, you know, your personal hashtags. If you're working on something every day and you're tweeting about it every day, maybe it's like, you know, daily developer diary. Maybe it's, you know, the daily grind, whatever it may be. Like, you can come up with your own kind of hashtags and just consistently use those. And that way people, if they don't really remember, like, your handle, if they can't remember exactly the content, because often that happens to us. We read stuff on Twitter and we can't really recall where we read it or who it came from. They might remember your hashtag if it's, you know, a little witty and memorable enough. So they're doing a really good job. I want to look at also, you know, so kind of on the cute end, but if we're looking more on the inspirational end, you know, there's Nike. Nike has always had really great branding. Just do it. I mean, one of the most amazing taglines ever for a brand. So many ways you can take it. And they're, you know, they're more of a serious brand. They're inspirational. They're reflective. They make people really, like, look in upon themselves and figure out how they can be better. You know, it's always about self-betterment with Nike in terms of what they're trying to promote from their products, you know. The idea of, like, you know, capturing the moment and running with it. And so a lot of the things that they do on their Twitter, you'll start to see is inspirational pictures. They kind of curate their own experience really in a way that makes you feel that you should be doing exactly what the hashtag says, which is just do it. And so, you know, for example, the first one, taking it easy won't take you anywhere. Yeah, okay, I get it, you know, but it fits with their brand. And it's perfect. So if you're following Nike and you get these kind of daily inspirational messages, awesome. Like, they're doing their job really, really well there. That simple line, you know, it's a huge, granted, this is Nike, huge brand, but, you know, so many retweets, so many favorites, right? And so, you know, they do a lot of those kind of things. They'll post pictures of their products. They'll post, you know, like, just little things like the to-do list or move reminder, you've got a date, like, just little things that really capture all of their product line, and it brings it together, and it takes all of their branding, and then they also put in that underlying kind of brand voice that they have, which, it, you know, is very much inspirational. And so Nike's doing a really good job in that way. We can look at Whole Foods. Once again, I just picked these randomly, no reason. But, you know, Whole Foods, organic, green, healthy, you know, better for you, all of those things, whatever, delicious, tasty. And, you know, they really capture their market because people who go to Whole Foods, you know, there's always going to be different demographics. There's going to be the person who goes to the food counter and just wants to get something quick. There's going to be the person who wants to go home and cook their entire meal. So they kind of figure out a way to capture all of the facets of their audience. And so, you know, often they'll post things like recipes, right? So they're not just broadcasting, like, messages about what's on sale in their store, which is kind of what you think maybe a grocery store would be doing. They're providing a service. They're providing a service to their customers. And it might be, you know, a health-related service. Here's the things that you should, you know, be eating. Here's the products that, you know, you could be trying. You know, here's something new that's in the store, you know, bringing it back to the store. And so that's one thing that you can actually really consider when you are starting to do a lot more social media. If you're working in game development, for example, tweeting out links that are related or articles or blogs or whatever that are kind of related to game development about, you know, level design or about graphics or a really good tutorial you read or a process in a certain software tool that really made sense or, you know, how to use a certain source control, any of those kind of things. You can start to kind of fill your Twitter feed a little bit better. And you can start to say, like, here's the things I'm working on and here's the things I'm interested in, here's the things I represent. And I know my audience. And my audience are going to be people who are interested in these things. And so, you know, not just giving daily updates on how your game or your app is going or how, you know, or a screenshot of, you know, how what the UI looks like. But filling it out a little and making it feel like it's not one-dimensional is super, super important. Old Spice branding, really, really fun, right? Funny. When we think of Old Spice, at least I know when I think of Old Spice, I remember my dad using it years and years and years ago. And to me, Old Spice was just like old. Like when I think Old Spice, I think like old, you smell like soup, old kind of thing. And they've brought it right back and modernized it. And they've done a really good job. And they've done a really good job with the branding that's really kind of just a little off kilter, a little kooky. And their Twitter feed, again, reflects that. They have some really kind of little funny quips. You know, they've definitely got a copywriter going who's, you know, that's solely what their job is. And once again, you know, they're reflecting very much how they're kind of trying to present their brand right now. And they're, you know, which is, for me, they're just trying to modernize it, and they've done a really good job. So Old Spice is definitely someone to kind of take a look at as well. And once again, this might not be your brand voice. This might not be witty and funny, might not be what you're going for. You know, you might be building a very serious, you know, health app that focuses on diabetes. You need a different brand voice, and that's fine. But you can still kind of take a look at some of these things and pull from them what they're doing good and, you know, and what they're doing bad. Oreo is a lot of fun. They have a lot of fun with their brand. I mean, it's a fun product anyways. You grow up, you know, wanting to, like, break apart your Oreos and have at her. But Oreo is known as, you know, the timely tweeter. Lights go out in the Super Bowl last year, boom, they're the first people who have some kind of marketing and branding out there. They're the timely tweeter. They're the people who know how to respond and know how to engage with their audience, who know how to capitalize on the moment. Right. And that's really hard for a big brand to do. It's super easy for, you know, an indie developer to do, you know, in terms of, you know, just watching your Twitter and responding. For a big brand, there's a lot more legal that goes behind it. And so for them to be that kind of agile is pretty amazing. So what do you take from Oreo? Great brand voice, you know, great overall aesthetics, but also that they're timely and they really put out stuff that appeals to their audience and hits on their brand perfectly. DiGiorno, pizza. It's just worth reading their Twitter feed because it's just kind of funny, you know? And whoever's kind of writing it there is a little bit golden. And this is what I mean by, if you can and you have the opportunity, bring in some personality. Bring in something that, you know, whoever's writing this feed is the kind of person I want to go out and, you know, have a drink with. And you don't necessarily always need to be doing that, but if you can, seize that opportunity, be that person, be that kind of entertaining, interesting, like, what are you going to say next kind of thing. And this is really where this Twitter feed is right now, which is really interesting. So when it comes to Twitter, you know, we've looked at a couple brands and we looked at good ones, saw what you can kind of take away from it. You know, Twitter is very much, try to engage your audience, try to keep the conversation going, and try to keep it timely, right? And also use it to share other content in other places as well. I mean, that's what it works really, really, really well for. The other thing is, you know, when you start with Twitter, you don't have a lot of users. Go out and find some people who are kind of within the industry you're trying to hit or within that demographic you're trying to hit, and follow them, you know, and start it off that way and see what they're saying. See how their Twitter feed kind of flushes out. See who their, you know, who their networks are and things like that. And that can kind of help you determine, okay, well, if I need to build my user base, how can I do it? And maybe these people would be interested in this. And ultimately, what are you interested in? What do you want to share? So Twitter is the obvious place. I'm not really going to talk too much about, you know, Facebook. Facebook, I think we're pretty familiar with. You can create a Facebook page. You can have people like it. You can, you know, do all sorts of posts. You can put videos up there. You know, it's like a mini blog. You can use it that way totally if you want, but it probably automatically comes with a bunch of users if you've been on it for a while. So, you know, Facebook is a good place to be. People like to see those little updates, you know, pop up in their news feed. Just once again, not all the time, not super overwhelming, is the best way to do it. Other places that people can be that people really don't think about is there's a lot of brands on Instagram right now. And so Instagram, if we look at kind of, you know, who's doing it right, Burberry, you know, big luxury brand, woohoo, But they're one of the first brands to actually embrace when Instagram came out with the video feature. And so, you know, Burberry is doing a really good job. They really know how to curate the products, really know how to kind of give their users an insight into what their brand is about, you know, the behind the scenes kind of thing. And so, you know, how do you leverage Instagram? You know, you could be posting photos of your progress. You could be posting wireframes. You could be posting images of people using your app or play testing it or demoing it or, you know, some kind of testing on it. You could be, you know, creating a fun little video of you at 6 in the morning, like trying really hard to push out a feature or that you're super frustrated about something. Like, get creative. And so both for Burberry and I'm going to say Vine as well, you know, you can kind of have a little bit more fun. And the success, I think, when it comes to something like Instagram in terms of getting followers really is about the hashtags. You have to hashtag all over the place, which is a really huge pet peeve of mine. But, you know, select those hashtags accordingly, pick 3 or 4 that are half decently popular, that kind of fit in with what you're doing, and you might start to see your user base slowly grow. So Burberry is a good example. Forever 21, also, you know, one of those good examples of someone kind of doing it right on Instagram. You know, they're like, here's our products. I'm suggesting how you put them together. I'm doing all these things. And once again, you can kind of figure out how, you know, you can do that for your game or for your app. You know, you're building a productivity app, you know, takes 4-second video of someone totally wasting time doing the same thing over and over and over again. And then the last second is just a shot of your interface, for example. You know, have a little bit of fun with it. There's a lot of brands on Vine, Dolce & Gabbana. Once again, they're giving a behind the scenes, someone's wearing this, you know, seen in Dolce, et cetera, et cetera. And they're using Vine to kind of reach out to more people. So Vine's also, you know, an option. Some of the ones I really didn't touch on that you can also consider, definitely is Pinterest. Pinterest, if you post the right images, can really help you build your user base. But once again, it's got to be in the right demographic. You got to make sure that your users are going to, you know, definitely be there. Some people post stuff through their LinkedIn updates. Once again, that's entirely up to you if you want to do that. There's other social networks, obviously. You could be using Google+. You know, you could be doing things that are more of a service to your community rather than just talking about your stuff all the time. So, you know, if you're an indie game developer, maybe start a little, like, regular series where, you know, all you do is you have a round table, almost like a podcast, but make it like a Google Hangout, for example. Go straight to YouTube, right? Does all the work for you. Invite a couple people to just talk about, like, the latest game coming out, for example. And boom, you're creating a service for your audience. And by doing that, you're engaging them, and you're also kind of working your way to be like, and also I have this, you know, and it's a nice way to do it because people often don't want to hear a one-sided message. They want to hear something that's a little bit more human and multi-dimensional. So I think that's all I got when it comes to social media. You know, I mean, get out there, share some info, share some content. Just don't go too crazy about it. You know, you don't want to force someone to be like, I got to unfollow this person. But, you know, mostly just have a little bit of fun with it. And it's the best place for you to go and experiment and figure out what you can and can't do amongst all the social networks. And you'll know, you know, there's a like button for a reason. There's a little heart for a reason. You'll know when people are liking what you're doing and you'll know when they're not. And so that instant feedback in that sense is probably one of the most amazing things about trying to do any kind of marketing in terms of social media. So I'm Stacey Mulcahy, and that's all I got for you this week. Until next week.